The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It's time now for the bigger picture. First quarter earnings in the spotlight, coming in thick and fast over the past couple of weeks.
And here in Singapore, banks kicked off the year with a solid quarter that beat analyst expectations on stronger fee income and lower credit costs following a pandemic-struck 2020.
So where should investors position themselves in Asia? Let's see if we can get some answers from Christopher Wong, portfolio strategist, Southeast Asia at Fidelity International. Christopher, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. Let's start off with those first quarter reporting season for Asian global equity markets. What are your thoughts on this? And I guess from there, you know, with regard to Asia, more specifically, the Singapore market.
Sure. Yeah, globally, first quarter earnings have been really strong. Developed markets like US and Europe are already in the latter stages of their respective reporting seasons. And thus far, about 60-70+% of companies have beat their estimates, with more cyclical sectors like financials and consumer discretionaries doing well. In Asia, majority of companies have also reported their earnings. Earnings has also been strong, with about half of companies that reported beating estimates. Consensus is also getting increasingly optimistic on the outlook. Analysts have on average hiked earnings estimates for Asian companies by the largest amount in 5 months, as the manufacturing activity and demand for exports rise. And big part of this is really driven from by the demand, rise in demand for developed economies, which are making quite a fast recovery from the virus. Now, specific to Singapore, we're also seeing a earnings upgrade here. But thus far, in terms of who has really reported, it's only been a handful of large cap, and earnings have been strong thus far. Like you mentioned, banks have been one of them. The rest of the market cap, the rest of the markets will really report over the rest of this week and through the next. And Singapore, it's we expect them to see a healthy earnings growth this quarter, particularly driven because of its more cyclical tilt. So more than 80% of the market is made up of cyclical sectors like banks, property and industrial, for example. Hence, this portion of the market is expected to have benefited from the economic recovery we saw in the first quarter of the year.
All right, Christopher, what are your thoughts on the bank's performance, though, for the rest of 2021 and, in fact, moving forward the next few years?
Yeah, the three local banks really followed global peers reporting very strong first quarter earnings, marking a recovery from a kind of challenging 2020. Earnings were really guided, aided by the economic recovery, which reduced a lot of their loan loss provision on top of income growth from fee and trading businesses. Now, these results show that the lenders are on track to bounce back from a tough year. A continued improvement in the economic environment should further support their earnings for the rest of this year and their very high credit ratings. There's also potential for them to raise dividends back to pre-COVID levels if the recovery continues, as the MAS will likely be less likely to further extend the dividend payout caps they put in place last year. Mm-hmm. And over the medium term, yeah, we still see potential banks to do well if the recovery kind of continues. And at this point in time, valuation remains quite undemanding, which also leaves some room for performance to surprise on the upside going forward.
But no sentiment or any sentiment with regard to, I mean, right now we're seeing a rise in community cases, like just last night, two staff at Ng Teng Fong and Changi General Hospital among 13 new COVID-19 community cases. We're in phase two right now. Are we seeing that have an impact on the Singapore market?
Yeah, that has come into fore in the last couple of weeks. But really, in terms of stock market, the impact has been quite muted. So if you recall, the announcement by the government of further tightening measures came at some point in late April. So if we use May's month-to-date performance of the SPDI as a gauge, for example, we're actually holding much somewhat better than Asian markets as a whole. And also because of kind of the weighting of technology stocks in our market is a little bit lower, it has also been less affected by the retracement in technology stocks we see globally at the moment.
All right, Christopher, what about macro and market trends that investors should be looking out for in the coming months?
Yep. there are a couple of key trends that we're looking out for. So vaccines, the pace of the rollout is one to look out for, especially in certain parts of the world where vaccination programs have been a little slow to start or get going. And also because we're heading into the summer months of the Northern Hemisphere, this will also impact consumer spending. So that's one we're watching. The second as well is inflation, right? So if inflation rises moderately in the near term with kind of healthy economic growth, that will be a good positive development and good for value cyclically oriented sectors in Asia. But on the other hand, if we see a huge surge in inflation, it will then be very dependent on how central banks manage monetary policies, which could impact bond yields and then impact certain parts of the economies and the market. And the third trend that we're looking out for really is China. So China is on the path of normalization in policies. This is one of the regions that really got out of the crisis quite quickly. So it's also important to see how they manage leveraging and the rebalancing of the economy going forward. And we think they should be able to manage this delicate balance in the medium term.
Okay, we're speaking with Christopher Wong, portfolio strategist, Southeast Asia, Fidelity International. I suppose with all of that in mind, then what would you tell investors in terms of positioning themselves in Asia and, or rather, if I could be more specific, where the Singapore market is concerned?
Yeah. In the tactical horizon, now our preference here is for the more value cyclically oriented part of Asia. Now, this is the part of the market that has lacked the recovery that started last year. And also is likely to benefit from a vaccine-led recovery, right? And also a potentially higher inflationary environment. So China is one that we're positive on, and we like the value cyclical part where valuations are cheap, dividend yields are more attractive amidst a supportive growth environment. Now in Singapore, that's another area we like within the region. The market looks attractive because of better valuations compared to global equity markets. The share of cyclical sectors like banks, industrial properties, also make the market kind of geared to the economic reopening. And within Singapore, our preferred part at the moment is in financials. Like we discussed earlier, the banks are doing well and they look quite likely to do well in the immediate term as well.
Okay, one last thing, Christopher. What are the top market risks?
Yep. So the risk that one investor should really be mindful of going forward is due to vaccine. How quickly we get kind of the vaccine program rolled out in big parts of the world. Mutation is another one that we're also mindful of. A quick spread of it could also lead to extended lockdowns and lower effective vaccine effectiveness. That's also a risk. Valuation is something that we're also mindful of, but really this is more in the higher parts of the technology world, which valuations are quite stretched and may see some form of correction if bond yields spike, and that may also impact sentiment on markets as a whole. And third, inflation. So if inflation does come true, how central bank manages this would also determine how bond yields move and eventually as a subsequent result, equity markets. So we're quite mindful of this couple of risks in the short to medium term.
Excellent stuff. We've been speaking with Christopher Wong, portfolio strategist, Southeast Asia at Fidelity International. Christopher, thanks for your time. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.